Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is this bill all that I would want? Far from it. Is it all that it can be? No. But when history calls, history calls. And I happen to think that the consequences of inaction dictate the urgency of Congress to take every opportunity to demonstrate its capacity to solve the monumental issues of our time.
If ever the devil was born without a pair of horns, it was you. Jezebel, it was you.
Jezebel is Olympia Snow. Of course, she has thrown over with the turncoats who have stabbed America in the back, dragging us into a socialized medical system against the will of the majority of the American people. Remember, this is supposed to be a representative government. Never forget that. Never forget that this is a representative government in its creation. And yet, the folks who have been elected to Congress, with rare exception, act as though we are an impediment to their wills, an impediment to their interests. And that is why there's such discontent in the land. So now we have another so-called Republican, a rhino, going over with Arlen Specter and joining the socialists on the Democrat side, saying she will vote for the bill. The people be damned. 1-800-449-8255. There are many other stories. It's a pretty amazing geography of the social landscape out there, rather the political landscape, a phenomenal geography of what's going on, both in America and the world. Now, I could say to you, call 1-800-449-8255 with what you think is the most worthy of discussion, and I will do that. I'll give you a hint. Go to michaelsavage.com and see the lead story on my website. Geert Wilders, if you know who he is, I doubt that you do, given the fact that the Benedict Arnolds and the media won't even cover him. They're on the side of the radical Islamists, no question about it. Dutch MP Geert Wilders, he's a member of the Parliament of Holland, was banned from Britain, as was I. He was banned before I. Today, his ban was overturned by the Asylum and Immigration Tribunal. What's interesting is that my ban in Britain has not been overturned. It's been upheld by Treasury Solicitor's Office. And as I speak, we are trying to reach my attorney in London to find out why we are not applying to the same Asylum and Immigration Tribunal rather than to the Treasury Solicitor. We don't understand the ins and outs of England, truthfully. But Wilders is pleased that the UK court overturned the decision. Listen to clip 17.
I'm really very pleased that the UK court really overturned the decision of the UK government, and it's not only a victory for me, it's a victory of the freedom of speech, because if you really adhere to the concept of freedom of speech, also people that you don't agree with, you give a room for them to speak out, and I'm very happy with this court decision of the UK court.
Now, he was going to bring in a film called Fitna, which showed the dangers of radical Islam to the panty-waisted British leaders. The pill-popping leader of Britain, as you well know, is on the side of the radical Islamists, which is why they put Michael Savage on the list with radical Muslims. Exactly the same as this fellow. England is going not to the dogs, but to the radical Islamists, according to Wilders, and many, many millions of people see what's going on. Listen to clip 18.
Why do you think the original decision was taken?
Well, I think myself it was more a political decision. I mean, what I heard for my barrister and solicitor from the United Kingdom, they said that the court really made a big mess about the argument. I'm very happy that your great court decided that the freedom of speech is more important than a political decision and overruled this decision.
Amazing. I mean, listen to what's going on in the world. Go on to 19.
Would you agree that your views are deeply offensive to many people?
No, it's really not. If you look at the opinion polls in the Netherlands now, my party is the largest party in Holland. If there would be elections tomorrow, I would be the prime minister. I could be the prime minister of Holland. And believe me that we in Holland are, in general, modest and tolerant people. We are just fed up with losing our identity and our culture.
Did you hear what he just said? His so-called extremist right-wing party is now the largest party in Holland. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, why do we have two parties in America that don't represent any of the American people? They represent the banks. They represent the special interests. They represent the illegal aliens. Why don't they represent the American people? The answer is because we have been destroyed by George Bush. The entire conservative movement was purposely destroyed by the Bush machine. And I will tell you right now that if a third party were to originate in this country, a third party along the lines of Geert Wilders' Nationalist Party, I doubt very much that any of these two fraudulent parties would be in business in 10 years. Did you hear what I said? Listen to clip 20.
As long as you don't use any violence, you have a right, and everybody has, also my opponents, to speak out their mind. This is a democracy. If you don't agree with me, you can vote for another party. If I say what I feel, and a lot of people in Holland and all around the world share with me, that not Muslims, but the Islamization is a threat to our freedom and our free society, then I should be able to say so. And this is what is at stake. It's the freedom of speech. It's not about insulting people. I don't want to insult people. But if people in the process get insulted, well, this is the price of having a debate with people you agree with and you don't agree with.
Can you believe what we're listening to? How beautiful this is? It's as though pure water is being poured upon a world that is parched, a world that is thirsty for the truth. Finally, we hear a man who was banned in Britain. He's a member of the Parliament of Holland, the great nation, banned by the same low-life, degenerate, anti-freedom-loving people all over the world. But his ban was overturned. Mine is still a long way to go, by the way. Listen to 21 now.
I understand that my friend Lord Malcolm Pearson will invite me again in a couple of weeks, probably, to show fitna and to have a speech and have a debate in the House of Lords and at Westminster at the UK Parliament again. So I will be there soon, but maybe even sooner, maybe even this week or in next week or whenever, I will visit to show that this is really a victory, not for Geert Wilders, whatever you might think of me, but a victory for the freedom of speech. This is the best decision, and I'm very proud to come to the United Kingdom very soon.
Well, thank you, Geert Wilders, for speaking about your lifting of the ban on you. I hope that I have a similar speech to give in the next few months. I kind of don't know right now how badly they want to get me. I know that they canceled my Thursday speech, my debate before Cambridge, but I'm going to give it right here on this show 2 days from now, live. On every affiliate listening in this country, you're going to hear something that the British people have decided that they don't want to hear, which is Michael Savage delivering his debate on freedom of speech and the importance of it. And again, I say, go to my website, see the story about Geert Wilders, who's a ban from the UK, was overturned today by a court, and look at the story very carefully, and you will see there are a few hundred copies left of Banned in Britain, and you have an opportunity now, and I would say get one for your children because they're not going to be around. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are actually celebrating two things today, which is that a Dutch member of parliament, I mean, you may not know who he is, Geert Wilders, wanted to bring a movie into Britain which showed the dangers of radical Islam. The same woman who banned Michael Savage banned him, Jackie Smith, and he was freed today. The Asylum and Immigration Tribunal overturned the ban from the UK that was induced put in by the Home Office. We're also talking about the turncoat Olympia Snow from Maine, the Arlen Specter in a skirt, said she's going to join the Democrats to turn America into a socialist vassal state. Yet there is hope. office of Senator Mitch McConnell says this. Here's what he said. Senator Snow called me this morning to let me know that while she continues to have serious blah, 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 she wants to keep the process moving. I share her concerns, blah, 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 blah. The fact is this proposal will never come before the Senate, he says. But what we do know is that the bill, he's talking about the health insurance destruction bill, the bill written behind closed doors here in the Capitol will be another 1,000-page, trillion-dollar Washington takeover. We know it will slash $500 billion from seniors' Medicare, add new taxes and raise premiums. That's not reform. Good for you, Mitch McConnell. And goodbye. There's another person we really have to take salute, really. It's not that they've done me any favors. I'm banned from Fox News, as you well know, for their own internal political reasons. But I tell you, I got to take my hat off to Roger Ailes for standing up to the White House. Right now, the White House is ripping Fox News as often as they can. I've never seen anything like this where a government, an administration, goes after a channel. Have you ever seen anything like this? What would have happened if George Bush would have taken the entire apparatus of the White House machine and turned it on, let's say, CNN? Tell me what the vermin on the left would be doing today. Tell me what all of these blowhards on drugs would be doing today. So you really got to support Fox News. They don't support me, but you got to support them. That's how I see it. They may not come to my aid, but I'll come to their aid. How's that? You know, when Rush Limbaugh was in trouble over drugs, Michael Savage came to his defense. When Bill O'Reilly was in trouble with sexual charges and accusations with the loofahs, I was there to defend him. They're not here to defend me, but you know what? I'm a bigger man than they are. That's all I can say to you. I know what's right. I wish they did. New York City, WOR. Matt, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I believe that Sharia law is responsible for the Cambridge University canceling your debate.
Why?
Based upon the UN resolution that was approved on October 2nd, co-sponsored by the United States and Egypt, as lobbied for by the 57 Islamic states. It basically is a hate crime type legislation in that your speech may subject Cambridge or yourself or others to penalties by the United Nations.
Well, what is the law that was passed, the so-called kangaroo court law? Do you have it in handy or you know what it is?
Well, I don't have it handy, but it's certainly, you can find it on any search. It's a resolution that basically prevents media types from discussing or somehow putting down the Islamic religion of peace.
Well, what if you just say that the Islamists are not Islamic, that the radical Islamists have hijacked the religion of peace? That's illegal, too?
That may be under this resolution, which is...
Well, then maybe they can pass another resolution saying that kafirs who are Jews and Christians should pay a tithing to every Muslim they meet in the street. Does that mean we have to go along with it? I mean, people went to war over this garbage in the past. Who are these people?
I absolutely agree with you.
Who are these people? A bunch of spineless liberal lawyers. You know, the men who died for this country are turning over in their graves because you have a bunch of punks in this country who roll over to verminous, coward perverts with law degrees. I'm sick of this. Everybody should be sick of it. That's all I want to say right now. Medford, Oregon. Jenny, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Wrong button. Jenny, go ahead, please.
Savage, thank you so much for everything.
Okay, that's number two. 1-800-449-8255. Austin, Texas. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Just a few minutes ago, you said that you believed that the two-party system would fall under its own weight in the next 10 years if we put forward a strong third party. I believe that that's 100% true, and I am representing a group of people that's putting together a third party called GO. It's a nonpartisan plan to oust all...
Hold on. I appreciate what you're doing, but I can't put out a website I haven't looked at, Steve. I'm sorry. We need more people like you. Thank you very much. Duluth, Minnesota. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, a true pleasure to be speaking to you, sir. I just...
Thank you.
Two things. Today when I was watching CNN and Snow was on, I thought it was rather amusing that they had her listed as a Democrat versus a Republican. I thought that was rather...
That's funny. They had her a D, huh? Well, they got it right. At least they got something right this year.
Yes. And the other question I had for you is, Your opinion on unions in America today, do you think they've outlived their value in society?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I read last week that the AFL-CIO joined the ACLU in trying to protect illegal aliens from deportation, that they lobbied with the ACLU to make certain that police could not, let us say, pick up illegal aliens who were here in this country illegally. What does that tell you about the AFL-CIO and the ACLU? What does that tell you about this country?
I think we have a serious problem on that front.
Well, remember, when you have big business, when you have big labor joining together, including the Wall Street Journal, in favor of massive amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens, tell me whose side they're on, the side of the law, the side of immigration law, the side of the American people, or on the side of cheap labor and cheap votes?
Cheap labor and cheap votes.
Thank you very much. That's my opinion on the issue. Now we can go to the other issues in the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR. Bonnie, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I was very surprised that you were surprised over the Maine representative voting with the Democrats on the Baucus bill. I was at Steve Israel's town hall meeting the other night, and what he told us was that he was going to vote for this health care bill regardless if it cost him his job, regardless of anything, because it did not matter to him.
Who is Steve Israel? Should I know him? Is he a dog catcher in New York? Who is he?
No, he's the local representative here on Long Island.
Oh, so, he's the slimy character who came out in favor of banning radio talk show hosts like Michael Savage. Isn't that who he is, that slime ball from Long Island?
I believe so. But you know
what is he, some low-life night school lawyer who became a congressman? Who does he carry the water for? Which group in New York put him in office to do their bidding?
Not me. But what I
don't tell me about guys like Steve Israel. I grew up with them. They're the lowest of the low. They're so low that they become congressmen in order to ride around with a plaque on the back of their car. Let me tell you something. One day the people of Long Island are going to find out who he is, and they're going to throw him out in his keister. And by the way, you can record this and send it to Steve Israel for all I care. It's men like him who've destroyed America in the past and will destroy it in the future unless they're stopped. Throw Steve Israel out of office and save Long Island and America.
Savage.
I don't think you understand that we're at war in this country right now, that there's been a war declared upon this country by the radical Socialist Democrat Party. They're not fooling us. They're not fooling tens of millions of Americans. They know that a war has been declared on the principles that have guided this nation from its founding. This nation was never perfect. No nation is perfect. No person is perfect. We're not God. But it's as close to perfect as a nation has ever been. And the fact of the matter is this imposter from Chicago is trying to hijack everything this nation stands for. I don't need MSNBC to tell me I'm right or wrong. I don't need NBC, which is bought and sold by the Obama administration, to confirm or deny what I'm telling you, because 30 million people at least understand what I'm saying, if not more. They understand this radical from Chicago is trying to reshape America in the form of either a Cuba or another nation, and they don't want it, and they're not going there, and they're not going to be drugged there. They're going to fight. And they're going to stand up, as they have been at the tea parties. They don't care what vermin in the media say about them. They're going to fight. And if they have to stand in the streets in the rain and the slush and the snow, that's what it's going to take. And let me tell you something. It's going to get uglier before it gets nicer. Right now, they're going after Michael Savage. I've been banned in one country. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Now they're trying to destroy Fox News because they dare stand up to them. Now, who is next? Did you see what happened the other day? That degenerate, low-life frontman for the Democrat Party, and never forget this, what I say to you, that fraudulent bum, Chris Matthews, who I have called softball for at least 10 years, that guy worked for the Democrat Party. Did you know that before he was put on television? That low-life, degenerate bum fantasized about killing Rush Limbaugh. I said killing. He said to kill Rush Limbaugh, according to what I'm about to play for you. Now, let me ask you something. Should he be banned from MSNBC? Should he be banned from the BBC? Should he be banned from Britain? Listen to clip four.
You guys see Live and Let Die, the great Bond film with Yaphet Kotto as the bad guy, Mr. Big. In the end, they jammed a big CO2 pellet in his face, and he blew up. I have to tell you, Rush Limbaugh is beginning to look more and more like Mr. Big. And at some point, somebody's going to jam a CO2 pellet into his head, and he's going to explode like a giant blimp. That day may come. Not yet.
I don't know.
We'll all be there to watch.
You're telling me that that low-life degenerate belongs on television? You're telling me you'll buy another General Electric light bulb? Don't you understand the power you have? Chris Matthews thrown off the air? You know, what goes around comes around. I've put up with this for years. Why don't you fight back and show them where your money goes? I want to tell you something. The day will come that the ban on Michael Savage going to Britain will be lifted, because I'm right and they're wrong. Okay, the pill-popping degenerate who runs England will be out of office. There'll be conservatives, more clear-minded, fair-minded people. They may not even agree with me, but they're not going to do this to me. The day will come that my name will be cleared. And, you know, I'm going to say to you, it will not have been worth it. It will not have been worth the fight. I have never been through such stress day and night in my life, and I didn't ask for this. And this is not the first time. If you remember last year, illegal immigrant front groups, illegal immigrant drug gangs were outside radio stations. They are fronts for the illegal alien murderers and drug dealers. They pretended that they were for illegal aliens, but they're not, damn it! When are you going to wake up to the fact that actual gangs are lobbying actual senators and congressmen? When are you going to come to understand that my fight is your fight? When? When are you going to come to understand it? All right, let's go to the callers. San Diego, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, this is Chris. You know, I'm currently a college student in Southern California at a junior college, and I was going to use your name as a resource for a paper, and my professor told me that you weren't a viable source to reference in a paper, and you didn't deserve the credit as far as...
I'll tell you what you do. You send me the professor's name in the class, and we're going to sue him. And then I'll compare my credentials against that nothing. Who is this professor? Name him on the air. What is her background? Does she have a PhD?
She majored in the women's studies.
Oh, she majored in women's studies, huh? And where'd she get a degree? Out of a Cracker Jack box?
No, those fools said
What'd she buy? Some woman's apparel and she got a degree with it? I'll compare my credentials to her every day, and I'll tell you something else. I have written 25 books. I have an earned PhD. If that doesn't qualify for a verifiable source, what does it say about her?
Not much.
Well, don't be afraid. Send me her name, her exact quote, and we'll have my attorney get in touch with her. We'll find out who's a viable source. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. If you do, that's fine. I'm going to take every case like this, and I'm going to jam it down their illegitimate throats. I've just begun to fight. If you think I'm ready to roll over, you're mistaken. I have just begun to fight. They keep pushing me. They're going to see what happens. I'll drive both parties out of business. I have said to you, I'll never go into politics, didn't I? Well, let me tell you something. That's off the table. This keeps up. This keeps up. I know what I'll do with the rest of my life. I will drive these illegitimate communists out of business. I'm telling you right now, I'll start with the Senate seat. I'll drive one of these corrupt Brooklynite lowlifes back to the ghetto that she came from. I'll send her back to the slum she came crawling out of. You mark my words. You don't think it's time for a third party? You don't think it's time for a guy like me to stand up and knock one of these people out of office? I can guarantee you I can do it. Let him keep pushing me. You'll see what I'm made of. You'll see what I'm made of. You'll see if I'm ready to roll over. Ronald Reagan didn't become president until he was 72 years of age. I'm not in politics. I said I would never go into politics. But I have never seen a country in such bad shape right now as this country is right now, meaning a country that was once so great. It was ripped off by George Bush and the Treasury Secretary. They robbed you blind. They robbed me blind. They destroyed the economy on purpose. They sacked the Treasury. And I warned you Bush would do it. 6 months out, I said to you, he's not finished yet. You watch what he does in the last 3 months. I was prescient. I warned you that he was just warming up. I called Bush a fiscal socialist. I knew who that family was. I've seen it for years. Bush destroyed the conservative movement. Bush bankrupted the Treasury with his so-called Treasury Secretary, who's hiding somewhere in Michigan. Many people think he's responsible for the debacle on Wall Street and in the banks. And now what do we have? Now we have a man coming in with a cape and a sword, ready to stab the bull and put him down for good. Okay? The matador is here. George Bush was only a picador compared to Obama. Obama is the matador to George Bush, the picador. Sheila, Chicago, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. I just want to tell you that I'm pretty much shocked and outraged by the lack of support you're getting from the conservative radio stations and Fox News.
Good. I don't blame you. They're not conservatives. You know who they are. They're opportunists.
And if you're treated like that, then what's going to be left for the rest of us who don't have anybody to represent us? We feel like
I don't know. Ask Sean Hannity. Ask him why he doesn't do it. Ask O'Reilly. Ask them all.
I don't know who to ask because I'm so frustrated. I feel like our country's being taken over, and if they're not going to support you and what's going on with you, who's going to support anybody else?
Well, my friend, I'm not crying out for help. I'm perfectly capable of defending myself. And all I need are my listeners, and many, many people have contributed a lot of money to my legal defense fund. We're fighting this in court. I could do without fraudulent help from people in the media. That's all I could say. They want to do it. It's to their advantage. I'm going to win in the end. My name will be taken off the list, and they're not going to share in that victory. And the listeners, by the way, are in droves writing Fox News. They're telling Fox News that the cat is out of the bag, and they know who they are. Believe me, this is not helping their cause. And I'd rather that they stood with me so I could stand with them. You know what I'm saying?
I wish they would, because they should be behind you 100%.
Well, they have jealousies and they have political reasons of their own. I don't know what they may be. But as I say, you got to support Fox News right now, even though they don't support me. I've got to be the bigger person for the bigger battle, and I thank you very much for the call. Look, the good news is that Geert Wilders, who was banned from Britain, has been basically found not guilty by a higher authority than the pill poppers, Home Secretary Jackie Smith, okay? San Francisco, Dane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I've been listening to you for a long time. Let me tell you something. I will give you my unemployment checks. I will follow you to the streets. I will follow you to everywhere, what you're doing. What you're doing, I'll tell you, is the greatest thing. You're standing up for the freedom, the rights to small guys like myself. I will give you my last unemployment
check. Dane, okay, listen to me. I love you. I love what you're offering. Do not give me your unemployment check. I won't take it. I will not take it. I don't want it. I know you want to help. I don't know how to say this. Help yourself first. God helps those who help themselves, Dane. Please don't send me the unemployment check. Please. I ask you not to do that, Dane.
I will do it.
What I want is your emotional and psychic and spiritual support. I don't know if you're a religious man, Dane, but I want you to understand that there are spiritual forces that are very powerful in the universe. They have been from the beginning of time. And it's, you know, when it comes down to it, Dane, do you watch television at all? Do you get to watch TV?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you.
All right. I watch too much TV. And let me explain something. Every night there's another show on National Geographic showing the Paleolithic and the dinosaur and the brontosaur and the schmontosaur and the loxosaur. And they lived 15 million years ago and 100 million years ago and 300 million years ago. And this 100 million makes you think, what's the point? How can you believe in God? At a certain point, what you have to do is understand that science and religion are not incompatible. You can understand both. I've covered this. And what I'm saying to you, what I'm about to say to you is very important and is very profound. Very profound. At the end of the day, when you're crying out in the middle of the night and you're adrift at sea in your own mind, who is going to help you? National Geographic, geologists, or the Bible? It's only the Bible that will be there for you, the Rock of Ages. And that's why I remain a very religious and spiritual man. At the end of the day, while I have the mind of a scientist and a real PhD, the fact of the matter is I can believe that, understand it, and put it in the context of a God, an all-seeing God who created this earth and everything on it. That's all I can say to you. And you got to have faith in God. You must have faith in God. I know it sounds like fiction and fantasy to a Western scientific individual. How can you believe in that stuff? It was written by guys in the desert thousands of years ago who were hallucinating. I've heard it all before. All you got to do is ask yourself the following question. Take a look at the atheists in Congress and ask yourself, would you follow Barney Frank if he needed you to follow him in a battlefield? Would you follow the others in Congress if they said, follow me? No, you wouldn't. But you'd follow a religiously oriented, believing general, wouldn't you?
God bless you.
That's all you got to remember. Have faith, my friend, and faith will get you through it. Last night, I got to tell you something. I took a rare excursion in my hometown of San Francisco. A Navy ship was here, and I'm a member of the Navy League, a group I strongly recommend. It's sort of a support group, cheerleaders for the U.S. Navy. And I was invited aboard a new warship. And this happens once a year during Fleet Week. They have like a buffet and they have drinks. It's all Navy personnel. And then, of course, there's the members of the Navy League and local people who like the Navy and support them or have people on the ship. And I saw all these kids on the ship, black kids, Hispanics, Filipinos, you name it. And, you know, I shook hands with about 50 of them. And each and every one of them I went up to, and I looked them in the eye and I said to them, just understand how important your job is. Because I know something about how this works. They're only cogs in the wheel. And they all have very specific jobs to do on a ship. It's a very complicated machine. You know, and they have very specialized small tasks. And what I said to each person whose hand I shook is this: your job is extremely important. You are a link in a very big chain, and that chain is what protects America. God bless you. You know what? These kids looked at me like no one had ever said that to them before. And I got a great feeling when I left that ship. I saw a different picture of minorities than the vermin in the media will show you. All they'll show you are black gangbangers. When have they last shown you a black in a Navy uniform? All they will show you are Hispanic gangbangers with tattoos. When have they last showed you Hispanics who are proud to be Americans? You've got to understand something. We are fighting a war for the very survival of this nation. And they want to tear this country down, not build it up. They will use blacks. They will use Hispanics. They will use Asians to destroy this country and turn it into a socialized heap, a heap of socialist garbage. Mark my words. Listen to what I just said to you. When have they last showed you a black young man in a Navy uniform proud to be an American? When have they last showed you a young Hispanic in a military uniform proud to be an American? They won't do it. They want you to be divided. They understand the old rule of divide and conquer. It came around long before Saul Alinsky told it to a young man from Honolulu who was smoking pot and listening to him. I'll be back. It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, or visit me online. You know where, michaelsavage.com. The lead story is that a man named Geert Wilders, who was a member of parliament in Holland, was banned from the UK by the very same evildoers who banned Michael Savage. And his lawyers went to a different division of the government than I did, which is interesting, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. And they today, Asylum and Immigration Tribunal overturned his ban. My lawyers appealed to the Treasury solicitor. I don't understand the ins and outs of it. It's very expensive. It's been going on now since May 5th, May, June, July, August, September. You know, 5-6 months. And I think this could soon be over within 6 months. And I'm used to this. I'm in the radio business. But I want it over with. It will be over, and I will win. Because I'm right and they're wrong. And then when I win, those who did support me in the media can take credit for it. And those who didn't will have eternal shame on their hands, if they have any shame, which I kind of doubt. But that's not the issue today. The real issue, that's one issue, excuse me. The real big issue is the fact that illegitimate vermin in the media are now openly fantasizing about killing conservatives on the air. And there are no ramifications. Now, remember, I never proposed violence, ever. And yet we have Chris Matthews saying somebody's going to jam a CO2 cartridge into Rush Limbaugh's head and he's going to explode like a blimp. And we'll be there to watch. If that is not a threat, if that is not encouraging people to kill Rush Limbaugh, I'd like to know what is. And I'd like to know why you don't boycott comes around. Stop buying products that these murderous left-wing operatives, the apparatchiks, are proposing that you buy. Let them understand that what goes around comes around, and conservatives buy things. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. This is actually a very good day. It's a good day for freedom. It's a good day for freedom of speech. And today is the 13th of October, as you know. Tomorrow is the 14th, and of course Thursday is the 15th. That's a very important date because I had been invited to debate freedom of speech, really political correctness was the title, in Cambridge, England, because I couldn't go there. I was invited to do it by video link. They then withdrew the invitation abruptly without warning on Thursday of last week. I am going to read what I would have read in Cambridge, England, here on the radio show, and I advise you to listen, record it, and share it with friends. Let's go to Scotland in the United Kingdom. Alan, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi there. I just want to extend my gratitude to you coming on air and saying what you say. It's great to hear conservative voices. There aren't many in the UK. I want to be one of them on the radio over here, and I really hope you can get this ban overturned. It's essential.
Well, you know something? My wife is of Scottish ancestry, and I've always had a tremendous fondness for the British people, always, my whole life. And I believe that this government under Gordon Brown is the most un-British of governments in modern history. They're acting much like Germany did in the late 1930s, wouldn't you say, Alan?
Well, we're all social democrats. It's capitulation. It's complete capitulation. And it's just, it's not on. We're ruining our country. We're ruining our culture. We have a tradition of free speech, fairness, and tolerance. And it's just wrong that free speech should suddenly be turned into hate speech because somebody might, it's downright wrong.
And you know, Alan, think of your ancestors who died for freedom of speech. Think of what they died for, whether it was on the beaches of Normandy, in the European theater itself. Think of those young men running into hails of bullets, being blown to smithereens, God forbid, by bombs and by shrapnel. What did they die for? So a pill-popping, anti-freedom individual could take over Britain and ban free speech? What in the heck is going on over there? I say to myself every day.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I say that my vote today is my vote today. It doesn't forecast what my vote will be tomorrow. As Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, a fellow Mainer, he said, great is the art of the beginning, but greater is the art of the ending.
You know, you're using the wrong words. Not art, my friend. Not art you're talking about. Sounds similar to it, but it's not art that just came out of your yap.
Jezebel, it was you. If ever an angel fell, Jezebel.
Well, the International Socialist Movement marches ahead. The Iron Boot continues to march across the globe, both in America and around the world. Of course, they're doing it with deceit. None dare call it revolution. None dare call it by its true name. But a few of us in the media who see it for what it is, and stand up for America and for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of, let us say, freedom to earn a living. You have a government right now that wants to hijack another $1 trillion out of your pocket. You know, if that's not outright robbery, I'd like to know what is. We live in a representative government. The words representatives should apply to our senators and congressmen. And yet they act as though you're an impediment to who they are actually representing, which are the special interests they claim that they don't represent. Some dare not call it what it is. And some do dare call it what it is. You understand what I'm saying to you? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. The big news that I've linked up on my website is that Geert Wilders, a member of the parliament in Holland, who had been banned from Britain because he wanted to bring in a movie showing the dangers of radical Islam and play it before the House of Lords, was banned by the very same Jackie Smith who banned Michael Savage. Today, he was pleased to learn that a UK court overturned that decision, and he will be going to England very shortly. I am hopeful that my case, too, will end in the same way, and I'm asking you to stay vigilant and to stand up for freedom of speech alongside Michael Savage. It's not ready. I'm not ready yet to play, the bells. The church bells may ring, but the day will come. But the fact is that here in America, we have very serious problems. We have a regime in power that's acting more like a banana republic regime than like a party, in the sense that they are attacking an entire network that dares criticize them. One network of all, a network that's not been kind to me, that will not come to my aid, that bans me just the same way the UK does. But I feel that they are more right than they are wrong, and I'm going to come to their aid and say that Fox News has to stand up to the Obama regime for the sake of all Americans who love freedom. I'm also going to say that Roger Ailes is a fair-minded man. Even though they continue to ban me from their networks, I will support them in their desire to get out the truth because they're more right than they're more than they are wrong. And I'm going to say again, I have never seen a government like this in the history of America, and I've studied this country for a long period of time. When have you seen an administration that's acting more and more like a banana republic administration, targeting a network that dares criticizing them for doing what they are apparently doing, which is trying to turn the country into a socialist nation right in front of our eyes? Can anyone listening to this show, liberal, libertarian, Democrat, apparatchik, can you name a previous administration that got up and didn't just say, well, I object to CNN, let's say? No, that actually tried to destroy a network. Can you name one? Maybe I'm mistaken. And I'd like to hear about it. I don't remember it happening. Never. I never heard Nixon do it. Nixon didn't like the liberal media, don't get me wrong. And he said it. But he didn't target NBC or CBS or ABC, did he? He didn't threaten them the way the Obama regime is threatening Fox News. Now you say, well, what do you care about Fox News, Michael? They've not been very good to you. Because the principle is bigger than the man. I've been trying to say that to them. They don't hear it, obviously. But the principle is bigger than the man. So we have a lot of things to talk about. Gold hits a record high of over $1,000 an ounce. I've told you for years that I have a great faith in gold. Oil is near a new high for the year. A new study is linking tumors and cell phones, just as many people have warned you. There's a lot going on. A lot going on that you need to hear about and that we need to talk about. And I invite you to call because I believe in freedom of speech here on the Savage Nation. I'm actually feeling very good about America because I feel the people actually know what Obama is and what his minions are trying to do. I actually believe they understand the danger that this republic is in. I think they actually know that the country is being hijacked by a small group of individuals who are doing so for their own profit and their own agenda. I think they know that. I think they know that. And I'm very optimistic that eventually truth will win out and that the bums will be thrown out. Fort Lauderdale, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how does anybody ever thank someone who's basically saved his son? I mean, sir, without you out there, I don't know where my son would turn to. He's freshman in college. And
what happened?
Well, the other day, I was doing the
the chance to Chairman Obama by the young brainwashed school children. And what happened?
He knew exactly what I was doing. And I couldn't believe, because I don't see him quite often anymore, maybe a weekend or so out of the month because he's a freshman in college now. And he knew exactly where it came from. And I was so proud of him that he's been listening to you on his own because, you know, you're like.
Michael, is he down in Florida near you or he went out of town?
I'm sorry?
Is he out of town or near you?
He's not far from me, but I am divorced from his mother. So he comes down, you know, he's getting older now, so he has, sometimes he's busy on the weekend, but we still get together. We.
What are you saying? But he's in the area of Florida, or he's in New York and listens on another station?
He's about 40 miles north of me, 50 miles north of me, and he goes to college up that way. But I'm so proud to see that.
Well, look, college is a very dangerous time for kids. You know, you spend your whole life trying to prepare them for the evils of the world, and you shelter them, and then they get exposed to the communists, the Marxists, and the perverts in the colleges, and they come back completely brainwashed. If you're lucky, they come back without being a drug addict or a complete deviant. That's if you're lucky, if they're not a drug addict or a deviant. You ought to count your lucky stars if they can just work in Starbucks when they get through with them.
And how can we thank you for saving our kids? I mean,
kid listens. If he's listening, that's all I can say. But, you know, I'm like the uncle in the family to a lot of people today. I mean, I never thought that that day would come. But I'm like the uncle that came around, as I say to you, on a Sunday to everyone's house to have dinner. It doesn't happen anymore. Everyone had an uncle like me at one point. The uncle, they couldn't wait until he left, and then they couldn't wait till he came the next Sunday to dinner so they could argue with him. He was always right. No matter whatever they thought about him, they knew he was right. They couldn't get the best of him.
But, sir, you know, I worry for your safety sometimes because these rats might try to do something to silence you one day because you're the only person out there can tell.
Well, it's a little too late to worry about that. They've already silenced me in an entire Western nation.
I know that, but I mean, you know,
I understand where they're coming from. I only hope that the FBI is on to the fact that anyone in the conservative media is targeted and that they'll forewarn us if they get any inkling that there's any kind of activity. I mean, I got to be very honest with you. I still have faith in the FBI, Michael.
I do, too.
They have tremendous reach. They have tremendous reach. And, you know, let me tell you this. Not too long ago, after this UK ban occurred, my lawyers wrote to the head of the FBI and asked if there were any inklings of such, things going on, and they said no, in writing. At the time. That's no guarantee. I understand that. When you have vermin in the media like Chris Matthews, the lowest of the low, suggesting that Rush Limbaugh be killed with a CO2 cartridge in his mouth, I mean, you know that could provoke the lunatics to go crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know that song, it was burned in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head for quite some time, whereas I was even doing it, walking around the house in a mocking way.
What, the You don't mean that, do you, Michael? Michael, you don't mean that one, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't mean that sound, do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Michael, hold on. Michael, I got a consolation prize for you. Your son may be gone from you, but my book, Banned in Britain, of which there are only 200 copies left of the first edition, first printing, I'm sending one of them to you so you can give it to your son. Stay on the line, 1-800-449-8255. What goes around comes around. Christopher in San Diego, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, what I'm listening to you say about Fox News, you know, I'm humbled by what you're saying. You're a stand-up man, sir. You know, for what they've done to you and not come by and, you know, stand by you and for you to praise Roger Ailes at this moment, Mr. Savage, I got to tell you.
Because the principle is bigger than the man. I only wish that Wallbanger and the Leprechaun understood that.
To call you, sir. I'm from New York. I know Alley Pond Park.
Oh, Alley Pond Park. That was close to Love by the Sewer Plant for me in those days.
Streetmore, as they say, sir.
Yeah, those were great days. We used to cook hot dogs in the winter in one of those barbecue pits. In the cold days, we'd cook a hot dog in a park. God, those were great days. All right, my friend, God bless you. You know, I got a lot of people who love this show. That's all I can say. And that's what matters to me. Doesn't matter to me that we've lost a representative government and we have a bunch of scoundrels running everything. Olympia Snow, all inspector, upstanding individual, real terrific people. The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. They may as well be wearing the uniform of the enemy. Olympia Snow of Maine. Yeah. She quotes Longfellow. Oh, I just love when they start quoting. Watch out when they start quoting poets from their area. Look out. That's all I can tell you. Look out when they start quoting the poet from their area. Judy in Sacramento, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I am a liberal, but I back you 100%.
Back me in what, Judy?
For just for the things you say, I you amaze me.
Well, it may turn out that you're not really a liberal. You only think you're a liberal because for 30 or 40 years, liberalism became the modus operandi of most Americans in that they thought liberals were good, conservatives were bad. And it was based primarily upon abortion and the use of marijuana. I'm telling you the truth. I know exactly how it is. People who were wrapped up in the drug culture and in the abortion culture started to think that the Democrats were good on all fronts. They didn't understand that they were being led down the primrose path by their addictions, Judy. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Senate panel backs health care reform with the turncoat Olympia Snow job. And you know about that. The Democrat-controlled, socialist Democrat-controlled Senate approved the measure, which would destroy health care as you know it, creating a trillion-dollar boondoggle for the individuals who will benefit directly from it. And, of course, Obama, the socialist, is very happy. This has been the apple of his eye long before he came to power. As you well know, the first thing that socialists do after they win their revolution is they create socialized medicine. I know this from studying the history of communist Cuba. One of the first things that Castro did was bring health care reform to Cuba, and he did so by destroying a medical system that was functional and turned it into a basket case. Right now, the health care in Cuba is non-existent except for the party members. Those in the party members of the Communist Party in Cuba get fairly good medical care. And, of course, the top people either go to Miami for real medical care or they fly doctors in from Spain or from Florida. They certainly wouldn't let a Cuban doctor touch them, much as the Maya Lansky character in The Godfather says, I don't trust anyone who doesn't, a doctor doesn't speak English, fly my doctor in from Miami. So there's nothing really changed under the sun. It's all a snapshot of lies that you are getting out of this administration. And the fact of the matter is the healthcare system that we have in America is still the best in the whole world. Absolutely the best in the whole world. $900 billion is the estimate. First of all, where's the money going to come from? The answer is who cares? And why should Obama care? The man has never met a payroll. Has Obama ever created a product and then taken it to market other than the product of hope and change? No. Now, you got to watch the Manchurian candidate to understand certain things that are going on in America today. It's funny, I watched it the other day, the original Frank Sinatra version, and it really chilled me all over again. Because every time I watch that movie, Manchurian Candidate, the Frank Sinatra version, and I see those idiots on the floor conventions with the signs, Arkansas, California, Maine, jumping up and down in the balloons, it actually puts fear in me of the mass mind and the masses, how easily brainwashed they are, and the party members who work all year, the little people. You know, they get out to vote people just to get invited to Washington so they can do the silly things that people do at these conventions. And I watch this with alarm because the Manchurian candidate story, I think, is very much alive in this country. And I don't think that it's necessarily Obama. For a long number of years, I thought that John McCain was a Manchurian candidate. I thought he was actually a type that had been deeply brainwashed to lose the election. Because I watched the campaign between him and Obama, and Obama was an upstart with tremendous deficits that could have easily been exploited by an experienced candidate, which McCain was doing simply by doing nothing. And every time McCain went in for the close, he blew it on purpose. He shot himself in the foot, so to speak. And so, as I say to you, there's a lot to be learned from that movie, Manchurian Candidate. Play a clip for the people now if they don't know what I'm talking about. Perfect. Perfect.
Raymond?
Yes, sir.
Can you see the Red Queen?
Yes, sir.
Good. 1 week from next Saturday, you will be called for at 11:10 a.m. and taken to the Timothy Swarton Sanitarium, 84 East 61st Street. We want you there for a checkup. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
You may put the cards away now. Goodbye, Raymond.
Goodbye, John. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, John. Goodbye, John. Very good, guys. Perfect. I'll be back on the Savage Nation to counter the propaganda of the socialist administration now empowered by the media.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I mean, you know, what keeps a man going when he's under the gun? What keeps you going is you have to have faith that you're right and your enemies are wrong and that the truth will prevail. That's all. And you have to have the gift to be able to turn it off at some time, if you can. I mean, your subconscious churns on these things, but at a certain point, you have to be like a duck, you know, with water. That analogy, and you got to pray to God that you can take it. Otherwise, you don't belong in the public eye. It's as simple as that. You don't belong in this business. On top of it all. I mean, if you don't like criticism and if you don't like the heat of the kitchen, as they say, then get out of the kitchen. Talk show hosts today are, in essence, a third party. Conservative talk show hosts today are, in fact, the conservative party of America, the few of us who are actually conservative. And there are, on a local level, some, and a national level, some. We are the third party. We are what the Republican Party is supposed to be. They're not supposed to be Democrat light. They're not supposed to be all Inspector, Olympia Snow. Okay? So we really are politicians. We are ministers without portfolio. So we have to expect to be attacked. We have to expect to be slandered. We have to expect to be dragged through the mud. We understand all of that. And so therefore, you know, don't shed a tear for me, as they say. Don't shed a tear for me. That's all. I chose this line of work in 1994, and it's been very good to me. And if at the end of the day it's not good to me, well, so what? What can I do? You have to add up the whole picture. That's all there is to it. It's been 15 good years. So over last year, it got very bad once the corrupt Democrat party took power. Things got bad. That's what you expect when you have a corrupt, illegitimate government running things in San Francisco or in Washington. Of course they're going to attack their enemies in the most dastardly ways, and they're going to invent things about them, and they're going to go overseas and try to undermine them with pill-popping leaders like Gordon Brown. We have to expect these things to happen. So don't shed a tear for me. I chose this line of work. I expected bad things to happen. Let's pray this is the worst that happens. That's all I can say to you. You know what I mean? Now, it is a good day. It shows that justice prevailed in the United Kingdom with Geert Wilders. His name was taken off the list, and this guy, remember, this guy was more controversial than I am in a way, in that he produced a film called Fitna, which shows the dangers of radical Islam taking over Europe. You understand that? And he was just found to be innocent today because he was innocent. He didn't ask people to agree with him. He asked people to permit him to have freedom of speech in what he said. That's the important thing to understand. I know that I will be, one day my name will be taken off this list of murderers. That's all I can say to you. With your help, many of you have given a lot of money to my legal fund. And don't think I don't, you know, need it. I did need it. Right now, I want to thank you for it. And thousands of you have bought my book, Banned in Britain, because it's a document you're going to want to have. Once this is over, you're going to have that document. There's only 300 copies left or so of the first printing, first edition, and it'll be gone. And then maybe there'll be a second printing. I don't even know if I want to do it anymore. First of all, I don't know if I want to print the book again. I don't know. I just want to say to you, I wanted to get the document out. And every facet of this battle is in that book. It's a true document of one man's struggle to free his name from an evil, out-of-control, liberal government. Sacramento, Vern, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Vern, go ahead, please.
Oh, Cain's book would be the Namchurian candidate. But I was going to say...
Wait, sorry, say that again. You're saying, say that again.
I'm sorry, McCain's movie would be called The Namchurian Candidate.
Oh, The Namchurian Candidate, very good. That deserves a prize. And what else, Vern?
Oh, okay, yours and Gart's ban from the UK would be like the Italy banning Elliot Ness from Sicily because it would incite the mafia to violence.
Oh, there's a sane man left in Sacramento.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Where do you live? You live up there or down in San Francisco?
I'm in hiding, and I.
Yeah. No, don't give it away. You have a child. I would offer to give you a Vern. You're not the fortune teller, are you?
No, but I met him at one of the events that you did in this, when he read your palm.
All I can say to you is, Vern, thank you for following the Savage Nation and being such a loyal fan, okay? It means a lot to me. 1-800-449-8255. Medford, Oregon. Teresa, you're up on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. My topic is not health reform, but I think you should lead food and nutrition reform, and we won't need so much health care.
Well, you know, I took this call for a reason, because I have led health care reform, meaning nutrition reform, for a long time. Remember, I wrote my first book on natural healing. My first book was published in 1972 by Macmillan, called Earth Medicine, Earth Foods. I think the book is still in print after 30 years or more. I don't even know how many years it is already. I don't even want to add them up. But I've written some phenomenal books in alternative medicine, nutrition against aging. Maximum immunity, by the way, is in six languages: Dutch, Danish, Portuguese, Spanish. So I've had some of my health reform books published all over the world. And what's interesting is that some of the Democrats recognize that health care costs could be driven down if people were to take care of themselves a little better, eat better, exercise better. And in many ways, I actually agree with them that we need health care reform. But we don't need it by destroying the health industry or by destroying doctors and hospitals. So, yeah, I agree that we need health care reform, but I've worked on that side from 1970s all through until I went into radio, into the early 90s. And I think of the very same passion, intelligence, knowledge that I have, that I brought to the health area with my books over the years. And I know many of you have bought my books. You know, it's funny. Many of my listeners have bought some of my earlier health books because they're still around. I have brought to the political arena, and right now we need political reform more than we need health reform, because we have a very sick system. It's on life support right now with a totally corrupt two-party system. And these two parties are acting as though they are not representing the people, but they're representing themselves or their own special interests. And that is a hijacking of the democracy that we inherited. Thank you very much. You know, last night, again, I went to a ship. The Navy League was invited. And I went aboard the ship here in San Francisco, a warship. It was, I don't know the type of ship it is. They have a buffet with the roast beef and the beer and a lot of really nice people. And all the young people are on the ship, are in the uniform. And as you can't believe this. You see 18-year-old girls with machine guns, which is one of the reasons I went, because it gave me courage to see 18-year-old girls with machine guns. You know, it was on Pier 3032 in San Francisco. But believe me, this was not the Pier 3032 that was there 2 days before. When the Navy puts a warship in and they invite civilians aboard, you've never seen security like this. And I enjoyed it, frankly. I enjoyed the 17-year-old girl with a machine gun. I enjoyed the 18-year-old boy with a machine gun. You know, you have to go through, like, left, right, like almost a maze to get on the ship, and they stop you, checkpoint you. It's kind of dramatic. They stop you. They make you turn your engine off. And then one guy comes out with a dog, a sniffer, a bomb sniffer dog. I liked it. I enjoyed it enormously in San Francisco. I felt safer than I did going for a plate of spaghetti in North Beach, by the way, going up there. I wish that we had dogs like that on every street corner to sniff out the drug dealers in the Mission District. Maybe they could unleash some of the drug-sniffing dogs into the mayor's office, and maybe they could find out why they're always on the side of wrong. You know, maybe they could unleash some dogs in there. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, you go aboard the ship, and you see all these young guys and these young women in the naval uniforms. And I told you, when I got there, I had one postcard. I have a bunch of postcards as the Savage, Michael Savage, with a picture of me and some stations I'm on. I didn't think of bringing any. I had one in my pocket. So at the first check-in stand, after all of the security, they look for your name on the list. And there were three people there, so I chose the first guy. He happened to be a young African-American guy, black guy, whatever you want to say. And I said, my name is Michael Savage. And he looked up and he said, are you Michael Savage from the radio? I said, yes. He stood up and he said, I want to thank you. He said, I've listened to you since I'm a kid. It's one of the reasons I went into the Navy. And he went on and on. And I said, well, let me give you something, a postcard. Give me your name. I'll send you a book. And he went on and on and on about it. I said, do you have a child? And he said, I do. And I said, what's your son's name? I said, you give me your name and address, and I'll send your son a special gift. You know, and this went on the whole time I was there, mainly with the younger people. And the reason I'm telling you this is not about self-aggrandizement. It's because the left-wing socialists in the media, and the reason I call them left-wing socialists, it's not oxymoron, is because there are right-wing socialists as well. Hitler was a right-wing socialist. We have a left-wing socialist party in power along the lines of Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong. But that's a discussion for another time. So the left-wing socialists in the media, how often have they shown you a young black person in a Navy uniform or Marine uniform who loves America standing next to an American flag? They like to show you when they're dead in a body bag in order to make you hate war. But they never show you a proud young person of color, so to speak, who loves this country, do they? Because they don't love America. They hate America. And they want to turn America into something that it never was supposed to be, into a Frankenstein of itself. So that all I'm saying to you is I enjoyed it. And then some of the older guys came up. I was stuffing my face with the roast beef and the beer. I got to admit, I was starving after the show. And I'm not a big meat eater, but it's something about a buffet with free roast beef that brings out the poor kid in me. And I lined up for, you know, they only give you, you have a little roll, and you come with the plate, and they cut two little pieces. How much can you get out of a little roll with two pieces of roast beef on it? I must have gone back 6 times, 10 times. I don't know what it was. I got home. I took my vitamin C, my vitamin E, and my fish oils. You know, it's like a prayer. What you do, you cheat on your diet, and then you take the nutrients that you hope counteract some of the saturated fats, and you go about your merry way. You know, before every bite you take, you have to like analyze things to survive in this country after the age of 30. So here we are. Here we are. Now, by the way, I'm going to give out a free copy of Banned in Britain to the first caller from Boston, Massachusetts, on my affiliate, WRKO. I got one right here because they come on the air, and I don't get a lot of calls out of Boston lately. They're busy, I guess, listening to John Kerry's speeches on the wonders of socialism. Here's one. WRKO, Noreen in Boston, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're a winner.
Oh, my word. This is such an honor. You have no idea. I've never won anything. And Dr. Savage, America needs you to run for office.
Well, let me say this. Every day that I get on the radio, I run for office 3 hours a day by telling you exactly what it is that I, as a third-party member, see going on in this country. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. Anyone in the media is really, in their own way, a member of a third party. If they're actually a member of the Republican Party and pushing the Republican platform, they shouldn't be in talk radio. And it's the same with Democrats. If anyone's pushing either the Democrats or the Republicans, they're too partisan to be in talk radio. We're supposed to be the voice of the people, which is supposed to be nonpartisan, Noreen. I know. Look, I know there's a lot to be said. The sigh you just gave out said 1,000 words. You're a winner, Noreen. You're winning a free copy of Banned in Britain. Stay on the line. You're going to get that. Thanks for calling from WRKO. Every one of my affiliates is magical to me. But, you know, when I was a kid, there were certain call letters that stand out, WOR New York, WRKO. Why? Do I like them more than other stations? It's because the call letters themselves have an empowerment about them, a power of an America that, in my mind, still exists. You see what I'm saying? Here's one out of New York, WOR. Mike, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
You know, it's so terrific listening to you. When I was young growing up, I used to jump out of airplanes, and every weekend we would go to the drop zone and sit around a campfire, and the old wise guys, older guys who were full of wisdom, would sit around the campfire to us younger guys, and they would just tell us about life. And you would sit there at that campfire, and you would listen to them, and you could see it on their face and hear it in their voice, and they told you about life. And that's what you do. You know, Koch did this for a while.
Yes, Mayor Koch had that man of the people feeling to him until he became a show business type.
Right. At one point, then he said we should vote for someone that was clear we shouldn't vote, and then he got co-opted. But you have that sitting around a campfire with the wizardy old guy telling the young.
Well, Mike, you may be as old as me though. How old are you?
I am as old as you. I just am. In fact, yesterday was my birthday, Columbus Day, but I am as old as you.
No, but are you over 60?
No, just hit it, right there.
So, what makes you think you're old? 60 is 40 of 20 years of 30 years ago.
But I'm. It's.
Do you feel like you're? Let me ask you something. As a 60-year-old man, do you feel like an old guy?
Not even a little bit.
No, not. You know, Mike, I feel younger than I did at 30 inside. It's because my mind is more focused. My energy is more focused. I'm not wasting my time with a lot of the false paths and the impulses that I had at 30. I may still have them, but I don't run down every street that comes up in my head. You know what I'm saying?
I remember talking to my father when he turned 60. He said, I'm as good at 60 as I was at 40.
And you mean really, all his plumbing worked?
All his plumbing, but I just think you certain things don't become as important to you anymore, so they don't slow you down. And I think you start...
Well, Mike, let me ask you something. Your father, I hope, is still alive. Don't tell me he died at 61.
He's still alive. He's still.
Thank God. Well, I don't know. No one knows where they're going to die or when, Mike, and that's a terrible thing to say on the radio, but the fact of the matter is we don't. We know where we were born, but we generally don't know, the ending of the story or how it ends. All I could say is this. Right now, it's a time for every American who has the brains to stand up and be counted, whether it's on a supermarket line, dispelling the lies of the Obama administration to the clerk so that everyone hears you, calling in a radio show as you're doing, whatever. You got to speak out. And eventually, this will become a roar. It will be the roar of the people that will be heard even in Washington, D.C., Mike. It's if every, let's say there's 30 million people in this country who know exactly what the Obama regime is trying to do to this country and what the bankers on Wall Street are doing in cahoots with him and what Bush did to this country. If all 30 million of these people who are aware of what is going on were once a day to say something, they don't have to be nasty about it. They could say it positively and strongly on a supermarket line. Think of what 30 million voices could do in this country on a daily basis if they said, you know what, I voted for that guy Obama, but he's a socialist. Or I voted for that guy Obama, and I don't like what he's doing to the country. I was tricked. Do you know what power that is?
It's amazing. It is amazing. You know, we need somebody who's not yet on the horizon to bring that together.
Yeah, we need a man on the white horse. Who is that going to be?
Listen, he's not there yet. He's just not.
He's not there yet. Well, I hope he's been born. Maybe I saw him last night in a Navy uniform on that ship. Maybe one of those young men will get it together and run for office. I'm in the mood to vote for a combat veteran, for Congress, for Senate, et cetera. I am so sick and tired of people who send young people to die and don't go there themselves. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, thus far in the Savage Nation, we've covered a lot of ground. There's a lot more to go, another big hour here on the show. But I want to go back again to please ask you to remember the big news of the day. You're not going to hear it on MSNBC because they are so far to the left that they're out of the mainstream of America, as you well know. They're bought and sold by the Obama administration. That's why it's his favorite network. And, of course, the reason that he hates Fox News is because that's not his favorite network. They dare criticize the king. We can't have that in a democracy. After all, what's a democracy? Why, a democracy is what we say it is, says the Obama regime. So if they want to be remembered as an administration that acted more like a regime in a banana republic, they couldn't actually be doing a better job than they're doing right now, because I've never seen an administration, a legitimate governmental administration in this country, attack a single network because they dared criticize their policies. They may not have liked them. Even Nixon attacked liberal media, but he didn't go out of his way to say, therefore I don't like NBC and I'm not going to give them contracts or whatever. And you watch what's going on now. You're seeing an outright banana-like republic functioning in America. Some say it's the Chicago machine. I would say it's much worse than any Chicago machine on a national level. But that's a discussion for another time. The important thing to remember, and I linked it up on my website, michaelsavage.com, is that Geert Wilders has been found not guilty by a court in Britain. Who is Geert Wilders? He's a member of parliament in the wonderful nation of Holland. He was banned from Britain by the very same scoundrel, Jackie Smith, who banned yours truly. And his legal team got him off the hook just yesterday or last evening. And we'll have him on the show very soon. That means that there is hope on the horizon. I remain eternally hopeful because tomorrow is another day. And remember, no matter how bad today is, the sun will come up tomorrow. That's something an older, wiser man once told me when things were going very bad in my life 30 years ago. He said, go home, get a good rest, have a drink. And he said, remember, the sun comes up tomorrow morning again. And on that note, God bless America.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Big news today comes from the Wall Street Journal. Rage at government for doing too much and not enough. Amazing article. It's what you all know, which is that public frustration, meaning your frustration over the Wall Street thieves that led to the financial collapse, particularly the bonus payments to American International Group, AIG executives, and other companies. I mean, they're only one. And they say that these feelings have not dissipated. Americans are equally upset at what they call overreaching by Congress and federal bureaucrats. No kidding. With protesters taking to the streets to decry socialism and a government takeover of the economy. And, of course, the politicians are now running scared. Poll says, asked whether the stimulus package that passed this year was a good idea or a bad one. The Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, and remember, these are very liberal organizations, okay? A poll of 1,000 adults, not even 1,000 voters. They could be illegal aliens. They could be in mental hospitals. Even this skewed poll says it was a bad idea, 45 to 35. Asked about the impact of the stimulus, said it would not help the economy, 38%. Overall, people were split over government's role. Are they doing too many things? 49% said yes. The Tea Party coordinator is very clear that we need a new populist leader. We don't have one. They've all been pushed out of the picture. As you well know, there is no Teddy Roosevelt waiting to come in from the wings and save us. People want a Teddy Roosevelt. People want someone to take on big business. People want someone to take on the socialists. And there is nobody out there, so far as I can tell. I would say that's the biggest story of the day.
We need someone to bust the trusts, but they've only busted our trust.
Very well put. Now we read that the socialized medicine proposal of Nancy Pelosi has been approved by her committee. McConnell says the fact is this proposal will never come before the Senate. Lieberman opposes it. Good for him. And Snowjob, of course, became a Democrat, another all inspector in a skirt. Dollar, meanwhile, is collapsing, losing its reserve status to the yen and the euro. Frightening, isn't it? Right in front of our eyes, we're watching this happen. We're watching it happen right in front of our eyes. I linked up a story on my site that should be alarming to anybody who believes in fairness and nonviolence, and that's Chris Matthews musing about Rush Limbaugh being killed. Did you see that one?
I did see that one. He's talking about, you know, putting a CO2 pellet in his mouth and blowing it up.
He said one day someone's going to come up and put a CO2 pellet in his mouth and kill him.
And the left complains about violence?
The left? Screw the left. I mean, I want to know why that double-talking phony is on the air. If I so much as breathe too heavily, I'm attacked. But that fraudulent big story, Geert Wilders wins challenge against British ban. Did you hear that story? Geert Wilders challenged the decision by then Home Secretary Jackie Smith, which led him to being turned back at Heathrow Airport, and he won. So I don't know. Maybe there's hope for me yet because of my listeners contributing to the legal fund and going up on my website and buying my book. I mean, the book's selling like crazy. There's only 300 copies left.
Looks like the Home Office isn't invulnerable after all.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes to me, though. Chris Matthews fantasizes about someone killing Limbaugh. According to Breitbart TV, at some point someone is going to jam a giant CO2 pellet into his head and he's going to explode like a giant blimp. That's not funny. Chris Matthews is psychologically a damaged suitcase. In my opinion, NBC has an obligation to take him off the air permanently. And then there's that phony Lindsey Graham, who I was on to 3 years ago. Remember I said he's a trial lawyer?
Right.
Well, Lindsey Graham faced his own listeners in Greenville, and the crowd went crazy. They screamed at him. They blasted him. They grilled him. And they went back to his sellout on climate change, judicial appointees, and immigration. And Graham returned the fire, saying, if you don't like it, you can leave. Some did. Critics shouted at him a traitor and Sotomayor. And he told those who were shouting at him to chill out. One man told Lindsey Graham he had betrayed conservatism and made a pact with the devil by working with Democrats, and asked when Graham would switch parties. Graham said, "We're not going to be the party of angry white guys." A woman who had been carrying a sign that condemned unconstitutional, antichrist, socialist, federal deficit spending programs told Graham God does not support compromise, and that he had violated his oath of office by supporting federal ideas, including health care reform, that overstep states' rights. On climate change, Lindsey Graham, double talk, backstabber, said he's working with John Kerry. John Kerry, can you believe this? And he's in for the cap and trade bill. On his vote for Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Graham said he's trying to return confirming judges based on their legal qualifications. He's a liar. He's just a liar, in my opinion. On illegal immigration, Graham said he's all for a border wall. And then he wants to give the 12 million illegal immigrants, meaning that's 30 million, he wants to make them citizens. It was a trial lawyer. I saw it 2 years ago. So that's from South Carolina. Obama quietly authorizes 15,000 troops for Afghanistan. Middle class to pay for 87% of Baucus plan. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
The U.S. Senate's version of Obamacare finally is emerging into broad daylight, and the more people see it, the less popular it should be. The middle class will pay for 87% of this plan in order to support drug addicts, illegal aliens, and other deadbeats. Now, the most important story on MichaelSavage.com, and I don't want to overemphasize it, but it's very important, is that Geert Wilders had won his challenge against the British ban, but I have not. I want everyone listening to the show to understand by ordering the last of the few hundred copies of the first edition and showing it to friends, you may be part of history. Banned in Britain is right now a cause. It is a campaign, and I frankly need the people's help because freedom of speech is being attacked.
And this incident with Geert Wilders demonstrates very clearly that they're not invincible. They can be defeated, and they will eventually turn around on this.
Well, they said that they may take it back to court. They haven't given up yet.
So the fight has to be taken to them.
I guess. Is the globe really not warming? A recent BBC piece, What Happened to Global Warming? Of course, we know that it never was here. Had climate skeptics cheering. Yeah, no kidding. In the middle of storms like this. Well, the rest of America should get ready what we're having here in the Bay Area. We've got a major storm walloping us and big flooding, high winds, 60,000 lost power, 200 accidents. The reason I'm mentioning it is because this storm, which has brought snow to the Sierra, is going to hit the Midwest in a day or two, and then it's going to hit the East. So what we're getting now, they're going to get very soon. Maybe it'll be in the middle of another global warming conference for so-called environmental journalists. Here in San Francisco, Annie Tuesom Newsom, the failed mayor, who now wants to be governor, you know, the PETA principle, since he screwed up San Francisco with more crime, more murders, and more homelessness than ever, he feels he can bring those qualities to the state. So now he has taken donations from San Francisco's biggest developers and other businesses who know that they're going to get rich, richer than they can believe.
They're running from the stimulus package too. Goldman Sachs is down 2.3%. as of yesterday, so they're finally starting to...
Why doesn't Obama take on Goldman Sachs and punish them for their thievery and the opinion of millions of Americans? Here's a sad story in New York. A grieving father is suing a group of college students after his son's drinking death. He's accusing this group of students of plying his son with alcohol during a fatal hazing at a banned fraternity. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you think about it. Do you think the kids should be sued? Armin Partamian was found dead March 1 after drinking heavily for 3 days to gain membership in the off-campus fraternity at SUNY Genesco. In a wrongful death lawsuit filed in Queens, New York, his father is seeking $2.5 million in comp from six young men and two co-owners of the fraternity property. Two former frat members are charged with hazing and criminally negligent homicide, a felony. A third pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor and interned for 3 months and weekends in jail. The boy was a sophomore and lived in Queens. I mean, it's you can rip your heart out. They never should have done that to the kid, frankly. I think this hazing through drinking is outrageous. It's not American. I don't want to hear it's just an American tradition, babe. Well, truly, it's horrible. It should be stopped. I frankly agree with this lawsuit.
Savage.
You may know I'm not the only one who's been unfairly banned from the United Kingdom. Dutch lawmaker Geert Wilders was banned as well by the same person, Jackie Smith, in the Gordon Brown administration. Well, guess what? Just this morning, he's had his ban overturned. Listen to this.
I'm really very pleased that the UK court really overturned the decision of the UK government. And it's not only a victory for me, it's a victory of the freedom of speech, because if you really adhere to the concept of freedom of speech, also people that you don't agree with, you give a room for them to speak out. And, well, I'm very happy with this court decision of the UK courts.
Why do you think the original decision was taken?
Well, I think myself it was more a political decision. I mean, what I heard from my barrister and solicitor from the United Kingdom, they said that the court really made a big mess about from the argument. I'm very happy that your great court decided that the freedom of speech is more important than a political decision and overruled this decision.
Of course, the leftists at the BBC interviewing Wilders try to attack him.
Would you agree that your views are deeply offensive to many people?
No, it's really not. If you look at the opinion polls in the Netherlands now, my party is the largest party in Holland. If there would be elections tomorrow, I would be the prime minister. I could be the prime minister of Holland. And believe me that we in Holland are, in general, modest and tolerant people. We are just fed up with losing our identity and our culture. As long as you don't use any violence, you have a right, and everybody has, also my opponents, to speak out their mind. This is a democracy. If you don't agree with me, you can vote for another party. If I say what I feel, and a lot of people in Holland and all around the world share with me, that not Muslims, but the Islamization is a threat to our freedom and our free society, then I should be able to say so. And this is what is at stake. It's the freedom of speech. It's not about insulting people. I don't want to insult people. But if people in the process get insulted, well, this is the price of having a debate with people you agree with and you don't agree with.
At any rate, Geert Wilders will be going back to England soon.
I understand that my friend Lord Malcolm Pearson will invite me again in a couple of weeks, probably, to show fitna and to have a speech and have a debate in the House of Lords and Westminster at the UK Parliament again. So I will be there soon, but maybe even sooner, maybe even this week or in next week or whenever I will visit to show that this is really a victory, not for Geert Wilders, whatever you might think of me, but a victory for the freedom of speech. This is the best decision, and I'm very proud to come to the United Kingdom very soon.
Will I be next? Go to michaelsavage.com and help make it happen. Pick up your last chance to get a copy of Banned in Britain. All right, let's move on.
I was actually just in Italy, and I agree with you that the food over there is really unimpressive, and I do have a theory behind why that is.
Why is that? I mean, because the Italian food in San Francisco is better than it is in Rome.
I agree with you. And I've eaten in New York, and I've eaten all along the East Coast, and I would agree that the food here is better. I think it goes back to, they do pay more taxes, and it's more like a nanny state over there. And I think that people are generally more complacent, and they're not as interested in making the best product so that they can really outdo the next business. And
you mean they take what they can get, basically, and there's a difference in dining in Italy. They dine over a longer period of time. They drink much more wine. And they take hours. It's more of a social experience than a dining experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. Although in the major tourist cities, and I spent 12 days there a couple of months ago, 70% of their GDP is based upon tourism. And I think when people go there, they're just happy to eat out. I don't think they're as critical as, say, someone in the United
States. Afraid of the Italians, too. They're afraid to complain. They're afraid they'll get their head knocked off.
Well, I can tell you that I was pretty disappointed with the food.
Do you know anybody who would go to Rome and tell the guy in Rome that his spaghetti was no good?
Well, but, Mike, I'm telling you the sauce like with the spaghetti. It's very...
I'm just kidding. But the fact is, first of all, the ingredients are not as fresh as in America. Let's start with that. I'm lucky enough to live in California where there's a lot of fresh produce, which makes a huge difference. I'll give you an example. I don't have the time really to develop quickly. I want to show you how easy it is to cook well. Why? Why am I inserting a recipe? Because I want to show you, you put aside all the hype. I mean, I like a restaurant as good as anybody else, but there are times I don't even want to go out after a show. I want to go home and cook. So what did I do? The only thing I needed to make this meal, and it was in the house, was a fresh bread. It's a must. I can't have old bread. I can't eat bread a day old. Horrible. Okay. So I always have enough spaghetti on hand, every kind of variety you can imagine. And the dried variety is just as good if you cook it. It's a good brand, right? And I have a sauce I use I'm not going to mention, the same sauce. I went in the freezer and I took out a pound of very low fat, no hormone, no antibiotic chopped meat, meat that I bought. And the package said July 13th because it was in a freezer container. I marked it. It was old. Then I took out a package of a pound of calamari. I had a half a pound of frozen calamari that I had bought fresh, again, July 13th, 2009. So I defrosted both of them in the microwave, first washed and blah, blah, blah. Even defrosting is an art. You have to know how to defrost food properly to not ruin it before you cook it. I mic'd it on the defrost thing. It was still, frozen in the middle, which it should be. And I made that meat in one pot, made the calamari in another while cooking the spaghetti. It was really amazing. If you have the right spices and you put the aromatic spices into the meat, well, first I cut up a red bell pepper, cored it, didn't peel it. I cored it, and I cut it into one-inch strips. Very important that they're thin, long strips. Don't chop them into little pieces. And then I cut up an onion lengthwise, again, an inch long. So I put in some really fine Spanish olive oil, which I happen to prefer. It's low acid. I got to get the oil very hot. This is the problem with most cooking is you don't get the oil hot enough, and it sits there, doesn't it? If you put it in and you don't hear a sizzle, it's not hot enough. It should sizzle when you put it in. Anyway, the long and short of it is I made – it's so delicious. I made basically chopped meat, onions, and peppers in one pan. I made calamari in another, and I made spaghetti in another. And to tell you the truth, with a little salad, it was a really fine meal. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
The problem we're having with radical Islamists is really not going away because the mainstream media chooses to look the other way, put their head in the sand, and blame conservatives. One of the voices in Washington who is really trying to make a difference is Sue Myrick, Republican of North Carolina, 9th District. She's just launched a new national security and counterterrorism agenda entitled Wake Up America 2.0. She's really great. She's one of the really great ones. She joins us now to talk about this. Representative Myrick, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks, Michael. Appreciate your help in getting the word out about what we're doing relative to the radical Islamist jihadists and their priorities and how it's affecting us here in this country.
What is this Wake Up America agenda about?
We've released our Wake Up America 2.0, we call it, because we did one before. But the whole idea is we're looking at ways that we can help to educate and wake up Americans to the threats that are out there, to our national security and our liberties. So hopefully they will be willing to step up and help act to counter what's going on. And it's a long list of things that we can do, but we kind of broke it into areas: domestic counterterrorism, and then countering the radical Islamist financing, and what we call radical Islamist lawfare, and then education, as I said before, to help counter this, and then what we can do with different strategic assets abroad. My concern is that this is not an issue that's going to go away. I mean, we're right now nationally discussing Afghanistan and how the president's going to handle that. And, of course, I'm a big supporter of the fact that we should let the commanders on the ground make the decision because they know what's happening over there and they know what they need. But we are looking at what we've commonly referred to as the infiltration of these different groups here in our country. And, you know, we've got a visa waiver program that has a lot of holes in it. We're now finding out that we've got a lot of American citizens who have passports, but they are very either sympathetic to the ideology or they are actually going abroad to train and coming back here to carry out plots against us. We just foiled four of them in the last couple of weeks, fortunately, because our FBI and other intelligence agencies had been working on this and were able to stop them. But my concern is what's happening here in America that we don't know about. So we're looking at all the different aspects, border security, you know, port security, which has some holes in it yet, how we can have an effect on, first of all, them getting into the country by tightening our borders, et cetera, but then secondly, looking at what's going on once they are here.
What kind of problems?
Prison radicalization. It's an area people don't talk about, but the federal government, frankly, is doing a good job of stopping radicalization in the federal prisons. But when it comes to state and locals, they don't have the same programs. And so one of the things we want to do is work with grassroots efforts to try and strengthen their standards and get them to adopt the federal ones to address these radicalization issues, because a lot of these self-proclaimed jihadists are coming out of our prisons, helping to, you know, further educate and train local officials so they know what to look for, that type of thing. And then, you know, the financing aspect is another one that people have kind of overlooked because, you know, our economy has not been in best shape. And so people everywhere, businesses are looking for ways to find financing for things. And they're turning to sovereign wealth funds, Sharia financing, which is a form of financing that has to give a certain percentage of money back to a charity, as they call it. But it ends up going to a lot of these terrorist groups. And we have been working with the Department of Treasury, you know, to better monitor the sovereign wealth funds here in this investment here in the country, because that's an increasing issue, as well as Sharia finance, as I said. And then, of course, another area that most people aren't aware of is that a lot of these groups that have ties to terrorist organizations are putting a lot of money and have been for years into our colleges and universities here in America to run Middle East programs, they call them. But they're spreading a Wahhabi ideology throughout our higher education system, and that's very frightening as well.
Well, what are we doing about this?
Well, one of the things we're doing is introducing some legislation that's going to protect first responders, because we've had some incidences of first responders across the country stopping somebody and then getting a lawsuit slapped against them. And so this legislation would prevent those frivolous lawsuits against first responders if they're lawfully acting to prevent an act of terrorism. That's a big issue. And, you know, people have to feel like they're free to do their job in law enforcement. We've also been working with groups of moderate American Muslims, and they are ignored by our government. Whenever our government is looking for people to make comments, take trips, be on panels, et cetera, particularly our State Department, they turn to the CARE and the ISNAs, the groups that have radical ties. And so we have been working with putting them in front of government agency people to say, when you need somebody, talk to them and don't just talk to the radicals as well. We also have a group that we formed with members of the European Parliament. These are people who belong to a network over there in Europe who are totally dedicated to fighting terrorism in their countries. And we've established a working group. We call it TAG, Transatlantic Legislative Group. But we they've been over here twice. We're going to go over there to find ways that we can work together to fight against the radical Islamists. You know, it's kind of like what NATO did during the Cold War, but it isn't happening anymore through organizations like that. So, as I said, there's a tremendous amount in this, and it's going to be an ongoing, changing, long-term effort. But we really are committed to the fact that there's a lot more that we can do here in America to fight against what I see as a tremendously fast-moving infiltration in our country.
What kind of reception have you received on this? I don't think that they would be courageous enough to hear you.
Well, the groups that have the radical ties, of course, are constantly apologizing and saying that those of us who feel like, you know, they are doing things they shouldn't, et cetera, are being Islamophobic or we're racist or all these other terms that they call us. And it's ridiculous, you know. That isn't the case at all. We care about American national security. And there are a lot of Muslim Americans in this country who do not agree with them either. In fact, groups like CARE are losing their grassroots support. But what they're gaining is support from governments overseas who are putting large amounts of money into them, and that's something else that's going to be coming out in the next few days, how that is all tied together. So, you know, yes, they're going to fight against us, but, you know, we've been working on this whole area for a couple of years, ever since they started the Anti-Terrorism Caucus, going on 3 years ago now. And the whole idea of that was to educate members of Congress and help them to have the right knowledge to talk to their people at home. So we're going to continue doing it. I know there's risk involved, but, you know, you can't just give up and say you don't care about what's happening in your country.
Representative Sue Myrick, thank you for speaking out and for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thanks again for having me on, and I really appreciate your dedication to working on these issues and helping to get the word out to your listeners. It really is important, and we're grateful.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Kessler is the author of 18 New York Times best-selling nonfiction books. We welcome him to the Savage Nation to discuss his new book, In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. Well, what made you write this book all of a sudden?
I'd done previous books on the FBI, the CIA, the War on Terror, so I was into this genre, if you will, and an FBI agent introduced me some time back to a Secret Service agent, and I started collecting anecdotes. And even though the Secret Service is called secret for a reason, it really is even more secret than the FBI or the CIA. I found that I was able to get some good stories. And then more recently, several current agents came to me and told me about corner cutting that's been going on at the Secret Service ever since Homeland Security took over in 2003. To the point where they actually don't do magnetometer screening or metal detection at some events, or they shut it down early. It's just like letting passengers into an airplane without putting them through metal detectors. It's just crazy. And so that got me into the current Secret Service.
Is the reduction in the service that they're providing due to finances or due to expediency?
You know, like any government scandal, it's really hard to totally pinpoint why something like this could occur. On the one hand, there is a financial aspect to it, because now that the Secret Service is part of Homeland Security, it has to compete with 21 other national security agencies for budgets. The attitude of Secret Service management is, we make do with less. They think they're proud not to ask for more money. It's not the agents. The agents are dedicated and brave, and they'll actually take a bullet for the president.
Well, what don't we know about the Secret Service?
Well, besides going into how the Secret Service protects and the secrets of their techniques, the book goes into what the agents see, and they are really like human surveillance cameras. They see everything that the president, the vice president, the first lady, the first family does. And they're just remarkable stories about everyone from JFK and LBJ to Barack Obama, and someone like, for example, Jenna Bush, Barbara Bush, were very difficult with the agents. Jenna would actually go through red lights trying to evade her Secret Service detail She would not tell him where she was going or when she was going, so they had to conduct surveillance of her car. One time she went to a Halloween party with Henry Hager, who's now her husband, and he got so drunk that the agents had to take him to the hospital. Jimmy Carter was known as the phoniest president by the Secret Service. He would pretend to carry his own luggage, but it was actually empty, or he would give it to aides as soon as the cameras were gone. He would come into the Oval Office sometimes at 5 in the morning and tell the press office to tell the press that he was in there working hard for the American people, but then he would nod off to sleep on the sofa. And in contrast to the jolly peanut farmer image that he projected, behind the scenes he was nasty, he hardly ever smiled, he would tell agents he didn't want them to say hello to him in the morning on the way to the Oval Office. It was just apparently too much trouble to say hello back to another human being. And Lyndon Johnson was totally out of control. He would actually, he was having affairs with his secretaries. One time Lady Bird, his wife, caught him in the Oval Office having sex with one of his secretaries. But he would also have this routine when he went into Air Force One of stripping totally naked as soon as he got inside the plane, even in front of his daughters and his secretaries. And he would also urinate in front of female reporters. He would sit on the toilet and defecate in front of aides. One of the agents said that if this guy were not president, he would be in a mental hospital, and that's just the way he acted. JFK was would have threesomes with two very fetching young White House assistants who were known as Fiddle and Faddle, and sometimes they would go in the White House pool. Fiddle and Faddle would be wearing only white T-shirts, nipples showing, nothing else on. One time, Jackie came home unexpectedly, and her detail warned his detail just before she arrived, so that JFK was able to hop out of the pool, and he gave his drink to a Secret Service agent and said, try it, it's quite good. Now, Barack Obama does treat his agents with consideration and respect. Both he and Michelle invited agents to dinner several times when he was campaigning, but he is continuing to smoke on a regular basis despite his claim to have given it up 95%. Ronald Reagan was a total genuine human being, just as he appeared to be on TV. He would spend time schmoozing with agents. He would joke with them. One time he came out of his California home wearing a pistol, and one of the agents said, what's that for? And Reagan said, well, just in case you guys need some help.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, but is it standard procedure that they follow up on all threats?
They do follow up on all threats, they could come in from all different directions, emails, letters, phone calls to the White House switchboard. The corner cutting by the Secret Service also extends to not only not doing magnetometer screening and cutting back on the size of counter-assault teams, but not even keeping up to date with the latest firearms. They're still using the MP5 submachine gun as opposed to the newer and more powerful M4, which both the FBI and the military use. And they also are not allowing agents time to do regular firearms requalification or physical training, and they're covering that up by asking agents to fill out their own test scores. So it's a total mess. The Secret Service budget is only $1.4 billion a year, two-thirds of which is for protection. The rest is for counterfeit investigations, financial crime investigations. That's equal to about half the price of a stealth bomber, and yet what could be more important to protect than protecting the president? And let's also compare that with a stimulus package of almost $800 billion. So the first thing that needs to be done is to double or triple the Secret Service budget, and secondly, replace the director with an outside individual who doesn't have this Secret Service management culture of denial.
You mentioned that a psychic was once used. Can you expand on that a bit, and is it normal for the Secret Service to use psychics?
Whenever the president is going to go out of town, whether it's in this country or a foreign country, the Secret Service goes out weeks in advance to check on possible threats and coordinate with local law enforcement. And in one case, when George H.W. Bush was campaigning for re-election and was going to go to Enid, Oklahoma to give a speech, the Secret Service checked, as usual, with local law enforcement, and they said that there's this psychic in town who's been incredibly reliable in the past and has actually led the police to the bodies of murder victims, and that she has a vision that Bush was going to be assassinated by a sniper at an overpass when it comes to Enid, Oklahoma. So the Secret Service, you know, normally would totally disregard anything like this. They wouldn't listen. But in this case, given the fact that, you know, she had been reliable in the past, they did go and interview her, even though they were sheepish about it. And sure enough, she not only had this vision about Bush, but she seemed to know all these other details about the trip, such as where the limousine was stored. It was already stored at a hangar at an Air Force base outside of town. And even what Bush was going to be wearing when he came out of Air Force One, a sports shirt as opposed to the usual suit. So when all these things turned out to be true, the Secret Service, you know, really became alarmed and changed the motorcade route so it did not go under any overpasses. And, of course, Bush was safe. He was never told about it. He's reading about it for the first time in this book.
So the Secret Service will use any and all means at their disposal. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, when you read all the other details in the book of what this psychic predicted and what she knew that was accurate, you can understand why they would have been really irresponsible to ignore what she was saying. But they do coordinate with other agencies, of course. In another situation also involving George H.W. Bush, the CIA got onto a plot by Hezbollah to take him out when he was going to Lebanon after he left the White House. And CIA passed it along to the Secret Service. The Secret Service changed the route, and, of course, he was safe.
Where can listeners go to find out more?
The book is available on Amazon and any other bookstore and Barnes & Noble online or on my website, ronaldkessler.com. And it is a New York Times bestseller, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Thanks, Ron Kessler, for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.